If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening, and thank you for tuning in for hour two of the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening, David Schrader.
And the lovely and semi-talented, we got to be careful because she's, you know, an intern. You can't let her get all big-headed on us here.
I know. You don't want the
semi-talented
you don't want the rookie syndrome happen.
That's right. We've got our intern, Ashley, here, and she's going to help field some of the questions tonight. You know, we're celebrating a year and a half on the air. Appreciate everybody that's tuned in and spent time with us for the last year and a half, and hopefully you've learned some stuff about the paranormal along with Tim and I. It's been an interesting ride, Tim, wouldn't you say, from going from a little lark of, hey, let's put together a radio show to we've had a great chance to tour different states in the United States. We're getting invited out to paranormal conferences. We're going to be out at Dragon Con. We're going to be all over checking out stuff. So it's been kind of a fun ride, don't you think?
Meeting people we don't even know and offers coming over the phone. Yeah, pretty much.
You're a freak.
I know.
Hey, real quick, I do want to mention The Real Deal presents the 2007 South Coast Paranormal Convention Friday and Saturday, July 20th and 21st, 2007, at the very haunted Glen Tavern Inn in Santa Paula, California, which is, I believe, about an hour out of Los Angeles. Speakers will include Chris Fleming from the TV show Dead Famous, Patrick Burns from the TV show Haunting Evidence on Court TV, Richard Sennett, the Ghostbuster, Terror Normal's Chad Kalick will be there, and I'll be there from Darkness Radio, plus there's many, many other speakers there. There's going to be workshops on tarot and demonology, a screening of the movie Conjure by rock star illustrator Matt Bush, a historical ghost tour of the Glen Tavern Inn, a seance in Room 104, and an all-night, all-access investigation of the Glen Tavern Inn. Tickets are only $125. That includes admission for both days, a free deck of tarot cards for the tarot workshop, and a free convention t-shirt. Or for $300, it includes everything that I just mentioned, plus a room at the Glen Tavern Inn for both Friday and Saturday night. Rooms are going quickly, so reserve yours now. For more information, go to www.woodwardpsychic.com. That's WOODWARDPSYCHIC.com. Or you can go right to our website at darknessradio.com. And over on the left-hand side of the screen, that would be right-hand side of the screen, I guess, there's a little button at the top of the screen that says 2007 South Coast Paranormal Convention. Just click that. It'll take you there, and you can sign up right on the website.
Don't forget to bring your free tarot deck to the tarot poker tournament they'll be having.
That's right.
Of course.
Strip tarot.
Card is wild. So,
yes. Yeah. So you're going to check that out. Please come on out and say hi to us, and or at least me. Tim can't make it. Congratulations to Tim's little sister, Stephanie, who's getting married that weekend. She won't be she'll be tying up Mr. Dennis, so he'll be there.
Hey, now, not me.
Well, I mean you'll be tied up. That's why you can't come in.
We marry outside the family. It's kind of neat.
Is that why you have no three-toed offspring yet?
Yeah. Well, working on it.
Well, good for you. Good.
I got a kind of a cute cousin I was hoping to kind of slink up next to at the wedding. So.
Don't you love having Ashley in here with us? Because she's like, oh, you guys, you're filthy.
You can't talk about that now.
You're a bunch of dirty old men. Yes, Ashley is our intern, and she comes to us by the way of her mom, Lisa, who is the president. I don't know what her title is. I don't want to say it and then get everybody else pissed at me on her group. But she's one of the founders of TCPS, which is the Twin Cities Paranormal Society. And you can check that out online as well. I'm a member of that. It's TwinCitiesParanormalSociety.com. Go check that out. But Ash wanted to get into radio, so Timmy was nice enough to take her under his wing, and he's teaching her the ways of the ninja radio warrior.
And it's not a bad wing to be under if I'm wearing deodorant.
That's right. So Ashley has been collecting questions for us during the first hour of the show, so we're going to have her hit us up with some of that. We're going to be talking, let me ask you, Tim.
Yeah.
And I hope this doesn't throw you off, Ashley. If you run across a similar question on your list, just exit off as I go along here, if you don't mind.
Follow along at home.
So, Tim.
Yeah.
When we started our little venture, you were definitely more of the skeptic. And I was definitely a lot more of the believer. A year and a half later, what do you think of your understanding of the paranormal? Do you believe more now? Are you more skeptical?
I'm right on the fence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen, what do you feel has really kind of leapt out to you to make you start to see a little bit more that the paranormal is not just a couple of coincidences that you've had in your life, or a couple of little incidents that you've had happen?
One in particular, the first time we were at the Stanley.
Okay.
Remember we went up to investigate 217? Everybody had left. It was kind of our quote-unquote travel day, the day before we traveled.
All right, okay.
And we went up there with Chris Fleming and Coach, Cliff, your son, myself. We went up there and we were investigating the room.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember, but at one point Coach was looking through the video camera.
I didn't go with you guys to that.
You weren't in the
room? No, I wasn't part of that, no.
I could have swore you were there.
Three men and my son were in a bedroom alone together. I wasn't there. So no, I really wasn't. Go on, though.
He was good, too.
Stop it.
No. But we're sitting in the room, and, you know, Chris does this thing where he'll open a drawer and he'll open a door and, you know, he'll command the spirits to jump through hoops or do whatever he does.
Right.
Coach has the video camera on Chris.
Coach is a good friend of ours, Mike Ganster, that's part of the Chicago Paranormal Research Group, and that's CPR. I think you can look them up online in Chicago Paranormal Research.
Yep. And Chris is sitting on the floor and he's saying, well, spirits, I realize you need some sort of energy in order to do something for us. So if you need to, go ahead and take that energy from me. So he's sitting on the floor, and as he's kind of bracing himself,
I was there for this one. Right. Yeah. Okay, I remember this.
Coach says he sees an orb through the viewfinder go straight into the back of his neck. And then as the orb exits the back of his neck, you see him kind of slouch, like he's more relaxed. Because you remember him saying, all right, that's it, you've taken enough energy?
Right.
And then he said he saw the orb leave and then kind of shoot around.
Right.
And then he asked for the spirits to do something, and we saw a weird flash.
Right.
And nobody had a flash camera.
Right. And it was in the room that we were all sitting in.
Right. It was
in a pitch black room, right? And all of a sudden it was just like this. But it wasn't like a flash that lit up the room. It was a strange kind of muted flash. So it was like a flash of light without illuminating anything.
A very localized flash. A regular flash on a camera would be much, much brighter.
Right.
This is just like a little blip, a little flash, just to let you know that there might have been something there.
All right. So that was your kind of, oh, okay, there might be something more to this.
Yeah.
All right.
And then there was a second experience on one of the trips, which I particularly laugh at. Because you and I had been up till about 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And this is on the Queen Mary.
Okay.
And we had separate beds. You know, we're not married.
Right.
And, and
it's not proper.
It's not proper. And I'm laying on my bed, and I'm starting to kind of drift off a little bit. Dave's wanting to drift off. But generally on these trips, we sit up and laugh like little schoolgirls for about half an hour before we fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're so tired, overtired, and you start cracking wise. So I'm laying there, and I got my glasses off, and you had just shut off the lights, and I feel something right... No, I'm kidding. I'm looking up at what should be the smoke detector, a CO2 detector, and there's another detector. So there's three lights, three green lights.
Right.
And then I see this big ball of red, and it's kind of floating around and changing directions, in weird directions. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm just overtired. And I'm thinking, should I reach over and grab my glasses and put them on or what? So I lean over, and at this point, you're just about out. And I go, hey, D. I said, look up at the ceiling. Do you see the strange red light bouncing around? And do you remember what you said?
Not a clue.
Shut the F up, turn over, and go to bed. So there you go. So I did. I just figured, you know, I'm done.
You're not going to have a paranormal experience without me? That's a good one.
So I just left my glasses off, turned over, and went to sleep.
I get a little crabby at 4:30 in the morning when I got to be up at 8 to see everybody up again. So I'm sorry.
I know.
I apologize for encroaching on one of your paranormal experiences.
Oh, sorry.
Been crazy.
Just wanted to share that moment.
All right, Ash, go ahead and why don't you throw a couple questions to us. And we do open up the phone lines, Tim. Hopefully they're working right again. We've been having problems getting inbound lines and outbound lines crossed. So if they work, we'll be able to take your calls. If not, if you try to call in and it rings and we don't pick up, that just means we're having the same difficulties we've had for the last 6 months here. So
I got to quit peeing on the phone hybrid. Yes, we should have bathroom breaks.
So what's the phone number? 952?
830-1470. Don't give me the old long distance thing. You have cell phones. Use them.
Everybody's got free long distance
That's
now,
right.
Especially at this time of night. We're doing you a favor. Again, it's 952.
830-1470.
So give a call. Tim will keep an eye on the lights for the phone system. Hopefully they'll work and we'll get it going. Go ahead, Ash. Who's this one directed to? Or doesn't it say?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
So this is from Ellen from Seattle, and she was wondering, have you ever seen a full apparition?
A full apparition. Well, you know, one of the stories I tell that I discount right away, even though, you know, it's been passed down to me from my family. I saw, apparently my grandmother came to visit me after her death when I was like 2 or 3 years old, and I described to a T what she had been buried in. So I guess that, yeah, in a sense, I did see a full apparition with them. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned on the radio, my full first on encounter, I think, with an apparition was watching my friend's webcam. She was feeling she was being watched. She felt uneasy. So she had switched on her webcam. I was talking to her, keeping her company because she was waiting for her parents to come home. And in walks this woman who I assumed was her mom, this older looking woman with like a black turtlenecky shirt on and like a white button up sweater. And you know how when, you know, it's dark, so she's just got like the light of the computer screen illuminating her, so everything kind of beyond her is kind of that black and white grayscale. I'm looking at that, and in walks this woman, and she kind of bends her head down like she's looking at the screen. So I just really assumed it was her mom, and the woman comes over and sits down next to my friend on this chair kind of behind her. And I said, oh, well, now your mom's home, everything's okay, huh? Or something to that effect. She goes, what are you talking about? And I said, well, who's the woman that just came in and sat down next to you? And I feel so horrible in retrospect because this friend of mine, she just stops typing and she does the slow look up to the video camera like, oh, jeez, what are you talking about? And I said, seriously, right next to you. And I could see this thing sitting there. And she reached over and grabbed the lamp next to her computer screen and swung it over at the empty chair. And there was nothing there. So I guess my first full-on apparition, I guess, that I can see as an adult was on a computer monitor. Now, again, I don't know. Was it bleed through another camera that maybe someplace close? Now, what's interesting is my friend told me across the street from her home is the community church where they always have the funerals. So it could have just been a passing through ghost, but it was strange. And actually, I will say that it freaked me out and her out enough that I actually called poor Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence at about 1:30 in the morning and woke him up out of a bed. So I think it was like 2:30 his time because they're an hour ahead of us. And I'm like, Patrick, got to get on. There's a ghost on webcam and blah, blah, blah. So Patrick got up and sat there and talked to both of us and calmed us down for about an hour, just trying to hopefully see a spirit pop up on the screen. So we didn't see anything, but she did report that within a week she woke up to something pulling her sheets off of her in the middle of the night. So I've been meaning to get back in touch with her and Patrick and get another little webcam deal going, and now she's learned how she can record off that webcam too, so hopefully we'll get to see that. Did you have a question pop up over there, Tim? Smirking? No. Are you just watching the people on the boards?
Watching the chat.
How about you, Tim? You think you've seen a spirit yet? Or
I've seen a variety of spirits in my liquor cabinet.
Yes,
but,
that's about it, huh?
No.
Other than we've
like
briefly talked, right? You've seen your spirits seem to attend or appear to you when you're in dream form.
Actually, you know what? I had an interesting dream. This sounds like we're just killing time. I had an interesting dream the other night. And my stepdad had a best friend by the name of Lawrence who passed away from cancer about 3-4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in a strange place. And
it made you nervous.
It did, yeah.
This is like a Men Without Hats style. Okay, go on.
No, that was Men at Work. Coming from land
that's
down.
That's right, okay. Yeah. You got me. 80s trivia master.
Yeah, I know. I'm totally useless for a lot of different things. So I'm having this dream. I'm in this weird place. I see people I recognize, and it's kind of like a school, like lunchroom, cafeteria type deal. And this woman comes up to me and keeps saying, "Are you going to be coming over for Lawrence's birthday tonight? He really wants you to be there. And he really wants you to sing happy birthday to him." I'm like, okay, well, it just, and she kept insisting over and over and over again.
Now, is Lawrence dead in real life?
Yeah, Lawrence passed away about 4 years ago. Maybe even five by now.
Okay.
So I'm like, this is weird. Lawrence's birthday, Lawrence's birthday. Turns out, Lawrence's birthday was a couple weeks ago.
Ah. And you missed it?
I did. And he wants me to sing him happy birthday, evidently. I don't know. So here we go. No, I'm kidding. But it
well,
was
that's interesting that would come to you like that.
Just an interesting little dream.
Okay.
That's all.
How about another? Actually, I've got a question here popping up. From
Anna.
Queen Ghost Geek wants to know about the noises that I heard on the Queen Mary. I was out at the Queen Mary visiting last week, and I got to take a walking tour with Erica Frost, who is the resident psychic on board the tour. Now, I've heard about this noise, Tim, and you remember they took us down there to let us hear the stuff when we went there last time, and we heard nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? And they said, well, this is the quietest it's ever been.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard everything from this noise will make you want to pee yourself to, you know, just not sure what I'm hearing. Well, it was kind of interesting because when we went into this area, as soon as they opened the door, you could hear this. And I actually am trying to get her and our friend Chad Kalick to record the sound and send it to you because I'd like you to manipulate it,
mm-hmm.
slow it down or speed it up and see if it makes words.
Okay.
It was weird. I'll give you that. I don't know if it was paranormal, but it was weird. Mm-hmm. It was just, it's almost like this giant croaking noise. You know, just this kind of over and over. But Erica said, and she said she was reluctant to tell us what she heard, but everybody really wanted to know. She said she thinks it sounds a lot of times like it's saying, please help me. So sure enough, as soon as you settle in on those words and you listen, all of a sudden you can start hearing the rhythm or the what's the word I'm looking for here? Like the syllables
like
for that. Right, the cadence for that. So it seemed to make sense, and you could kind of hear this. But what was really interesting was at first we were thinking, okay, it's got to be some kind of aquatic sea life outside the boat or something, you know, making this noise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's something racking up against the side of the ship and scraping.
Mm-hmm.
However, it would move in this area. So it would be in front of you, and then all of a sudden it would be off behind you and to the left, and then it would be up in front of you to the right, and back behind you again. And it was just this really weird groaning, croaking noise over and over and over and over, and it would echo and then fade and then come back again strong. It was really bizarre. But to me, it sounded metallic, almost like metal on metal grinding. So what I actually, you know, I had asked was, does it have to be this? Because I guess this is the part of the ship that had been smashed into and people were killed and there was all this damage. I wondered, does a ghost or does a haunting have to be human?
Mm-hmm.
Can it be if this metal contains the memory of what happened, could the metal be retaining the sounds of the crushing or the damage that was taking place? And she said, yeah, that's very likely that could be what we're hearing as well. And actually, another piece of evidence that was shared with me or a possible theory on this was, I guess, another naval person who had been aboard boats heard this noise and thought it reminded him when he was young. He used to be in the Navy, and they used to have this metal pole that they used to scrape the barnacles off.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it made that same noise.
Hmm.
So he thought, you know, maybe it's a residual haunting of just the scraping of the barnacles off the side of the ship. So it's kind of that, because it would make that noise. But I don't know. It was interesting. I'm interested in hearing what would happen. Now, I did go on a private ghost hunt with a few friends down into the pool area. And Erica Frost had told us that she was there's one part of the pool area underneath the stairs mm-hmm. she does not like to go. So, of course, being big, brave, idiot men, we decided we'd go down there. And Chad handed me the camera. He's like, go in there, dude. Get this. So I walked in, and as soon as I walked in, you hear this noise come from underneath the stairs where I'm standing. And, you know, we all kind of give each other the look. And then another noise, and it comes directly behind me, which is impossible because there's, you know, no, you know, like a foot and a half, 2 feet of room behind me, and there's nobody there. We also heard as we were coming back into that area this loud whoosh noise, like something just washed right over the top of us. It was really a strange little deal. So I'm interested to hear the video recording that we had and see if we picked up anything on video. But we did have that. But I didn't hear Jackie giggling or crying or laughing or saying peekaboo or anything that everybody else always hears. So mm-hmm. kind of a strange deal. But I hope that answered your question. Let's see, Shay. She wants to know, since I've come back from my UFO experience, have I seen them again? I did see UFOs on the way home from the experience. I think I mentioned that. And then that weekend I went with my kids, to my, in-laws farm and, we kind of laid out on the hood of the car and we're looking up at the sky and we saw things zipping around in the sky that I can't explain and my kids couldn't explain, so it was kind of weird. I couldn't explain, but my kids could. That'd even be weirder, wouldn't it?
No, Dad, that is a thermodynamic.
So, oh, Father, must you be such an imbecile?
Exactly. So we've got that going. So no, Shay, I haven't, but you know, truthfully, I haven't gone out there. I haven't gone out looking for him again. I do plan on it, and we are still looking into it. Now, here, I'd like all your guys' opinion on this, so email me, davidarknessradio.com. I want to put together a UFO trip to go to James Gilliland's ranch. Here's my fear. We charge a couple $100 to go to this, pay a couple speakers, have a really good time to go out there. Bear in mind that this takes place in Washington, and Washington is one of the rainiest states in the Union. And my fear is I'm going to get 100, 200 people out there to go sky watch for UFOs, and we're going to get cloudy, overcast nights and rain. And I just don't want to deal with a bunch of really upset, wet people.
Hey now.
So, I mean, if you're still interested in it, having some other speakers and take a chance that we catch a good weekend and we can see at least one of the three nights that we go out there, I will still look at doing this trip and see if we can pull something off for like the first weekend, you know, in August or in September or something like that, one of the first couple of weekends. So if you guys are interested and you definitely would like to look into the UFO stuff going on, let me know and we'll see what we can swing. But it is that time in the first part of the second hour here where we have to take a quick break. So we're going to do that. We'll come back. If you have any other questions, you can shoot them over to tim@darknessradio.com. And you can give us a call at 952-830-1470. Again, that's
952-830-1470.
1470 or 1740?
1470.
Okay, good. All right, we'll be right back with more of your questions right after this.
We're taking calls for our guests right now at 612-375-1400. The darkness is closing in. Be sure to get your question in quick.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. Or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit supernaturalnews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
Okay, each of you youngins take a gun, a beer, and some smoke.
Throttle, circuit breakers in. We have separation. Inboard and outboard are on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
Looks good.
Roger. I've got a blowout, neighbor three. Get your pitch to zero. Pitch is out, I can't hold altitude. Direction, alpha hold is off. Trip select is emergency. Flight calm, I can't hold it. She's breaking up, she's breaking...
Dave.
You fat dick!
Dave Schrader, paranormal host.
A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic
paranormal host. Dave Schrader
will be that man. Better than he was before.
What is it that makes you set shoot?
Better, stronger, faster.
Run, Forrest, run! Run, Forrest!
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Does that excite you? I'm going commando, Tim. No headphones.
I thought you were going to undo your pants here for a minute.
No, just taking off my headphones. We don't need. We're just talking to each other here.
It's getting hot in here.
Now, Tim, put out the wrong number in that last ad. So again, why don't you go ahead and give out?
It's
the
an
phone
old
number.
One. I just like the. We're taking phone calls now. It makes us sound like another show.
Yes.
952-830-1470 is the number.
Spirit Chaser, has my son found out where he's going to be stationed yet? Yes, my son is in the Navy, and he has been stationed out in some part in California, and I can't remember the name of the city. My brother's in the chat room. I think he'll type it on for me if he can. I don't remember the name of the city that he's going to be stationed at, but thanks for asking. He's doing really well. I appreciate all the love and support for my son who took off into the Navy in December. He's doing great and really loves being a part of it, so thank you very much. Let's get back into paranormal questions now. Ash, you got some more questions for us?
This is from Kayla, and she was wondering, what was the scariest thing that has ever happened to you during an investigation?
During an investigation? Now, we got to go on the line of saying, Tim and I, we haven't done too many investigations together.
Right then.
And I've only been on, about a dozen or two paranormal investigations. The scariest thing, actually, and I know this sounds rude, is just kind of the people that you're with sometimes can be scary because they, and I don't mean that poorly to the groups. I've been invited with a lot of groups, but a lot of them are just some of the paranormal groups out there are kind of scary to me now. That's been the one thing I've had a problem with. And I don't, how do you say it? Not be impolite. And
that's a good way.
That's why I was careful with the group that I'm a part of. I didn't want to run into a lot of the stuff I was running into out in the paranormal field. I've been invited into a lot of group functions, and I won't say who they are. It's not good form to do that. But, like they say, a lot of times I'm more afraid of the living than I am of the dead. Just watching the way that some of these groups conduct themselves, jumping at every shadow and freaking out. That's been the scarier part for me, is just kind of watching what people think is paranormal activity. When to me, a lot of it's logic. If you take more than 30 seconds and take a deep breath and then go try to figure out the problem, a lot of times it's something real simple. So I have yet to see anything. I think more along the lines, we watched an episode of Ghost Hunters last week when they were out in... I think it's Scotland.
Well, they were in Ireland. And they were
Ireland,
in
Scotland, one of the two. But anyway, he says, we're going to do it. The guy from out there said, we're going to do it the UK way, asking, which to me seems like the best way to go about getting EVPs. It was very cordial. It was very, we're not here to do you any harm. It was being very polite. Like they said, we're in a home of 1700s people. You don't come in and, who are you? What are you doing here?
You don't run upstairs and yell, are you a whore?
That's right.
Yeah, because that
you're a dead hooker, right? Yeah, that doesn't go over real good.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Queen Ghost Geek. It is Lemoore, California, where my son is being stationed. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for posting that. Lemoore, California. But going back, I have not seen anything anything in a paranormal investigation yet that I would deem scary. Have you, Tim?
No.
And again, I don't mean that with disrespect, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And I think the listeners do too. It's more the people that I've been with that kind of scare me and some of the groups that I'm a part of that are so into wanting to believe. That's the one problem I've seen, and we've mentioned it on the show before, with this field is since shows like Ghost Hunters and Dead Famous. Did you know that there were ghost groups out there all over the United States?
No.
And I think that, like our show, you know, 10,000 different shows have popped up in the last year and a half. Like Ghost Hunters, 10,000 different groups have popped up all over the United States. So there's so much going on in so many different angles, and so many people think they're ghost experts now because they watch every episode of Ghost Hunters and Most Haunted. So now they, you know, I don't know. So that's the only part that worries me, because I still see the problem being in the paranormal field. And help me out if I'm wrong here. And Ash, if you want to weigh in on this too. So many groups are out there trying to prove to themselves that there's ghosts, that they're not looking at helping the people who called them in or helping the spirits who need the help.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my fear. You know, I'm probably going to be the most hated man in society, because every place I go afterwards, I try to do a prayer in the room to try to release whatever spirits are there. I've done it at the Stanley and at the Queen Mary, and I'm sure I'll be doing it at Eastern State Penitentiary and doing what I can to set the spirits free.
You know, Patrick Burns has an interesting blog on ghosthounds.com mm-hmm. that talks about the ethics of going to a place like, say, the Queen Mary or mm-hmm. the Stanley,
right.
a place that's known to be haunted, that people go to because they want that haunted thrill, so to speak, and asking a ghost to be or to go to the light. Are you actually doing the hotel a disservice? Are you?
I'm not worried about the hotel, man. The hotel is a hotel, and it's going to always do business, especially if it's a beautiful hotel like the Stanley or the Queen Mary. What I'm worried about are the spirits that seem to be trapped there. And if they're trapped there because of tragedies and they're afraid to move on, it's time to move on. You know, the woman under the stairs that they found, it was actually at the Queen Mary, or at the, Queen Mary, was believed to have been raped and beaten in the shower room, the shower stall room, and then dragged underneath the stairs to die. Well, dude, I heard two moans the minute we walked in there.
Mm-hmm.
Three of us heard these moans out loud. Well, I just began praying right then and there on camera with them. And if this woman's there 50, 60, 70 years after her death, still trapped by this, you know, it shouldn't be a, you know, I think something should be done to release it. Now, maybe it's mm-hmm. just a residual trap there, right? And residual means it just plays over and over again and there's right. nothing you can do. Then great. I don't feel you're exploiting the paranormal. You know, it's a fine line we walk, man. People hate the fact that we make money on our trips, and they hate the fact that you make money on the paranormal. It's a business like any other business. But I do believe that if you're exploiting pain and suffering, I'll tell you what, if I found out that John Wayne Gacy's house was still up mm-hmm. or that a new person has built a house there and you could hear the children screaming for help, and I was given, you know, the keys to the kingdom to go in there and investigate it, I'd go in with as many priests as I could carry under my arms and make sure that we prayed out every soul we could to get them out of that house and cleanse it. I certainly would never want to show it on TV to try to exploit these children's pain and suffering. So I don't know what your take is on that, Tim, but that's kind of my worry with the field, is that I think people are doing it for the wrong reasons now, just to find ghosts and not really to help the spirits and help the people that need the help the most.
I would encourage everyone to go to ghosthounds.com and check out Patrick's blog, because he's got good points for both sides of the story, whether you should release a spirit back to the light or you should leave it be. And he at one point was kind of a little bit caught up ethically himself right. in the blog, but read it. It's an interesting read.
My brother online is referring to me as the short little woman Zelda from the Poltergeist movies. Go to the light, Caroline. Go
this
to the light.
This place is clean.
I just, you know, the paranormal field is strange, and I do, you know, trust me, I wrestle with it every day. I make money to survive and to pay my bills and to take care of my children off the paranormal, and I'm very thankful for it. I'm so thankful for the listeners that come and experience these things with us. But I believe, too, that, you know, if we can try to pray away and bring the white light to save the souls that are trapped there and want to be let out, I say go for it. I believe Patrick helped the spirit to cross over at the Stanley and at the Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm all for that, man, if there really is a spirit trapped there. You know, I also believe maybe some spirits, Erica was asked about Johnny, who I believe is the spirit in door lock 13, who was crushed to death. And she says, don't you want to move on? And he said, no, I'm famous here.
Hmm.
So I guess ego would probably be taken over into that world too. And if they want to be here and if this is what they like, then, you know, God love them. Let them be here. You know, and if they want to be a part of that and have fame and be taken from the obscurity of anonymity and brought into this, then great, I'm all for it. You know, I just don't want to see them in pain. One thing I do want to mention, because I got beat up in emails about our most haunted radio show we did, Tim.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we are going to have Derek Acora on here in the next couple of weeks. We're waiting for him to come back from Egypt. He is filming his new series in Egypt, but he wants a chance to rebut the interview that we had with Carl and Yvette. And I had a lot of people shoot me some email that were very pissed about me saying that I like their show and that I found them to be more realistic than most other paranormal shows when they are so obviously frauds, according to all these other people. You know what? They may do silly stuff, and maybe sometimes they're pressured by their networks to come up with it, you know, and they do some silly stuff. I don't know. But truthfully, what I was referring to about realistic is the fact that, and if you go back and listen to the interview, I talk about it, talking about how Yvette screams all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that I believe that's a lot more realistic than the tough guy stuff you see, like with Ghost Hunters.
Right.
Now, maybe Jay and Grant are just, you know, the Wyatt Earp and Marshall Dillon of the paranormal, and they can walk in and not be jumpy or nervous. I tend to think that I would be more Yvette and jumping and what the hell was if stuff was going on that they purport to have happen. I meant that in the case of that's more realistic to me than being the macho brave guy. I think I'd be more jumpy.
But after how many hundreds of investigations are you going to go in and still be jumpy?
Yeah. Right. I understand that part. Yeah. But what my reference to being more realistic was is that I think it's more realistic to be scared and jumpy than it is to be stoic and tough. So that was my only comment. I didn't mean that I think Most Haunted is the most realistic paranormal show. I mean, what is realistic in the field of the paranormal anyway? Right. So for those of you that are hating me because I said they are realistic, I didn't mean that. I meant their fear is more realistic to me than the bravado. And that's not putting down taps. God love them. They're not afraid. That's great. That's why we love to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, even Grant, I think on this last episode, jumped about something, said, geez, that really scared me. And he was freaked out by a few things going on. So I like to see that human side a little bit more. And I'm not putting down Jay at all, but that's kind of my theory on the paranormal. So what did you ever?
I know that Dustin and Tango had an episode with a spider. I mean, that to me was entertaining.
Right. Well, actually, that was hilarious, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They flicked that big old spider off him. The look on Tango's face.
It was Brian.
Brian and Tango.
Brian and Tango.
Yeah. Dustin was on the last episode of the season earlier this year. Boy, this is a hard season to understand. It's worse than The Sopranos breaking this stuff up. But anyway, okay, let's go back. We got a couple more questions that Ashley wants to get to here. Go ahead, Ash.
Sean is wondering, what are your thoughts on shadow people?
You know, I don't know. I don't know enough about shadow people. I've always had an interest in shadow people because every woman I've dated has related some shadow person story to me. And I've wondered and talked about it more, wondering if it ties in with menstrual cycles. And I don't mean that.
Sorry.
Well, right, but bear with me here. Poltergeist activity supposedly takes place around women coming of age, right?
Mm-hmm.
Comes into their life as they're hitting puberty and might have angst-ridden stuff going on and stuff gets all crazy. So my thought is, since most shadow people stories I've ever heard come from women, and they all seem to be women 20 something up that are menstruating, I just wonder if it ties in with their menstruation cycle. Are they seeing something that, not saying that they're hallucinating it, but maybe that opens up if the flowering of the bud, you know, for a teenage girl is what causes the PK activity of a poltergeist activity.
My God, I'm in health class.
I know. Well, I'm trying to say this tactfully, but if a woman coming into puberty can unleash this kind of ability, perhaps during those high concentrated moments during PMS, they're able to open up and, you know what I'm saying? And be able to experience the shadow people more. Because so many women I know see these figures at the end of their bed or looking at them through doorways, and they'll vanish. So I don't know many men that have had experiences. I'm sure that they've there are, and I'll get 100 emails about it tomorrow, but for most part, I've just heard it with women. What do I think of it? I think it may just be a ghost that we just don't, you know, it doesn't have the strength to manifest itself completely. I don't know, Tim, any thoughts on your part?
I'm confused. So a woman goes through puberty and sees 2.5-foot shadow people coming out of her flower? What was that again? No, I'm kidding.
No, but you know what I'm saying is that the women seem to put off that kind of vibe, that they're more in tune maybe during menstrual cycle. I don't know. Maybe it isn't. Maybe women aren't on their menstrual cycle when they see these things more. I don't understand it myself. So to answer your question, Ashley, I don't know. I don't know what I think. I think that shadow people are probably just ghosts, if that's what a ghost is, that just can't take full form. Sure, go ahead. Next question.
Here's from Michelle. What made you interested in the paranormal?
Well, as I said, I've had experiences happen ever since I was a little kid, from seeing my grandmother come back to my grandmother assisting in the birth of my oldest son, 17 years after her death. He was born at home. It was a breech birth. It was a we had a midwife there. We had family members from her family and my family there, and we had to deliver standing up to use gravity to help deliver the baby. And we'd gotten into a good rhythm where I was able to support her body, and she came out of a big contraction. I relaxed, and she dropped into another one, and I began to fall backwards. I got to about a 90-degree pitch and stopped, holding a pregnant woman in my arms, and stood straight back up. And I just always assumed, you know, I joke about it, Tim, that I had the, Incredible Hulk syndrome. I just, all of a sudden my body intensified in strength, and I was able to stand myself back upright to save the woman I love and my child being born. But it did feel like hands grabbed me under my armpits and stood me back up. My mom works for a hospital for crippled children and knows how the body works with the spinal column, and she said it was impossible what she witnessed, me bending back that far and coming straight back up. So after that, we also smelled this flowery scent in the room, which I had just assumed somebody knocked over a bottle of perfume. But my mom talked to me later and said that it was the smell of my grandmother's perfume. And then my aunt, who had also been there that night, took me aside and told me the same situation. She wanted to know how I stood back up and did I smell that flowery smell. So that was kind of my foray into the paranormal. And then just as I've reflected over the last year and a half, I just think back to all the really weird things that have happened. I know that I saw something, was it a Bigfoot or not, when I was about 10, 11 years old with my cousin in Alabama. I don't know. I saw UFOs, almost a year ago now. I've had different experiences, so that's kind of what kept me going. How about you, Tim?
Well, mine have just been seeing relatives in dreams, relatives coming through in dreams telling me everything was okay, and it generally happened shortly after they passed on, about maybe, I'd say about a day and a half after. And I've had my uncle come back to me and my grandfather come back to me in a dream, and there was that dream I had the other night, which was kind of weird. But
yours mostly come in dream form.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never seen an apparition. I've never seen a shadow person.
How about UFO, Bigfoot?
No.
Okay.
No, I have some pretty hairy relatives, and I've seen some pretty weird paper airplanes being thrown at the Metrodome during a football season when the Vikings are failing miserably, but I've never seen a UFO or Bigfoot.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to try to salvage that by the end of the year. I want to have you at least see a UFO with me, so we're going to try to get out to Gilliland's Ranch and see what we can find. All right, go ahead and hit us with the next one here, Ashley.
John is wondering, what is the best way to get a ghost to communicate?
Is this John or Sean?
John.
John. John. Suddenly she's talking like Johnny Carson.
Yes, sir.
John wants to know. What's the best way to get him to communicate? I think it's a phone card. Is that right? best way to get him to communicate? I don't know. Again, I have yet to get a clear EVP for myself. I guess if you can ask them if they can knock 3 times on the ceiling if you want me. Chris Fleming sells a little detector.
Seashells by the seashore.
Yes, Chris Fleming sells. He sells a little detector called a K2 meter. And this supposedly detects some kind of, you know what they work for, right, Tim? Electric magnetic field, is that what it's for? Or is it other?
It's another EMF detector.
Okay. Right. And it lights up, and he will actually ask spirits to come up to it, and it'll flicker and light and blink up like crazy for him. And then he asks it to light up twice for yes and once for no. And he asks questions, and he seems to have pretty good response with that.
Although Chris does claim that particular K2 meter is moved by PK energy, by psychokinetic energy.
Right.
So, and he claims that that's a ghost projecting that. If you notice, if you use that K2 meter like in a room, mm-hmm. try and put it near a light socket, it doesn't really register very well. So I think it's, don't ask me how, because I've never seen the thing built, but it seems to be a little bit more sensitive to what, like Chris would say, this PK energy than it is to regular electromagnetic fields.
Yep. All right. Next question. So do we answer that? What's the best way to communicate with them? I don't know. I would say you try your EVPs. I would say be very skeptical. Tim's more of an audio guy. If you have an EVP and you want to have it analyzed, you can email them to tim@darknessradio.com. Tim will try to get through them and see if he can dig something out of them. But I think it's a tough call, man. I mean, there's so much bleed through, so many different things to be coming through. It's hard for me to say. I've become more of a skeptic, I think, Tim. Have you seen that with me over the last year?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've become more skeptical, not cynical. I still believe in the paranormal,
in
but I
certain things.
Right.
In certain
things. Some things just don't seem as you know what, and here this may be a big bombshell I'll drop, Ash. Are you Uh-oh. Ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if I believe in ghosts anymore. I don't know.
Show's
that I believe,
over, folks. Yes. Good night.
No, I don't know if I believe in ghosts in the classic form that they're dead people walking around. I think it may, the more I'm learning about this, I think it may just be more bleed through the tapestry of time. I think we may just be interacting more with thin layers of time. I believe in residual hauntings. I don't know that I believe in intelligent hauntings. To be truthful, I'm having a real hard time with that now. I think that a lot of relative related ghost stories, I think may be more of an angelic coming to warn us and taking the form of something that we recognize. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Tim, but you know, it just seems to me when my grandfather came to me after his death, I was having a real bad time with death. I'm terrified of death. I've always had the problem with it. So when my grandfather came to me and told me the things I needed to know, when he left, you know, we're a very huggy, kissy family, and I went to give him a hug and a kiss. I pulled away, because it was this wave of like hot vibrational energy, and it freaked me out. And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, you're not used to that. Okay, hold on." And he said, "All right, now." And he gave me a hug and kiss, and it felt like skin to me. So since we've heard so many times that angels come in this warm, magnetic field kind of sense, I just tend to think maybe loved ones that come back to us, if they're really gone, I think they've done their part on Earth here and they're gone. And it would be nice to think that there are guardian angels, but I think that they've got something else. I think there are angels that are set to be here to take care of us, and I think they just take the disguise of loved ones because it's going to be a lot easier. Who are you going to believe if Grandpa comes to you and says, "Tim, you have to stop doing this or you're going to die," or if some big fiery white angel-y looking thing appears, you're going to question that more and think it was a dream or a hallucination, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I that's where I think. So I'm still studying with myself right now, trying to understand what it is ghosts are to me. But the more I'm understanding, the more research I do and the more places I go, I have less faith that there are actual boo ghosts than there are maybe just different that we're not just seeing through bleeding patterns in time.
I did find an EVP.
You did?
Yeah. It's from a blast from the past. Are you ready for it?
Okay, let's hear it.
Put your headphones on.
All right.
Here it is.
Okay. What is that?
It's Lisa's. It's the blow me or EVP.
Oh, God, no. Yeah, that's what they wanted to hear in the chat room. I saw that, didn't I? All right.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead, Ash. What do we got next?
Pam asks, do you believe in fairies?
Hey, now.
Well, I told you I did just come back from Los Angeles. Hey, now, everybody.
Hey.
Do I believe in fairies? I don't know. No. I don't think I believe in fairies. At least, I don't believe, you know, because I don't know. I don't know what the real definition of fairy is. Do I believe in Tinkerbell? No. Do I believe in the Tooth Fairy? If my kids are up, yes, I do. Do I believe that they're little pixie families that live in the woods and fly about? I have a hard time understanding that. Does that mean that it doesn't? No, because as Rosemary Ellen Guiley has told us in the past year, why can we believe in UFOs, Bigfoot, all this other stuff, but we don't believe in fairies? I guess it's because Disney sanitized me so much, I just have a hard time wrapping my mind around that. I think that there are things like we noticed on the Ghost Hunters episode, and I don't mean to keep beating their drum, but I think a lot of things that people refer to as elementals are what fairies are considered to be. So I don't know. You know, fairies in the realm that, like I said, you know, Disney has made them seem like, no, I don't believe in that. Does that mean that there's not stuff out there? Sure. I mean, something comes from everything, right? I mean, these stories have come from something. But I just don't know what I believe in with that. How about you, Tim? Fairies, real or not?
I've been to Uptown plenty of times, yes. And I'll tell you something. I don't know. That was interesting footage that Grant and Jason had of the one splitting into three in the thermal cam.
Yeah, that was interesting. But I would like to know, hear me out on this, on that footage. They show Brian and Tango walking through the woods, right? Well, where's the film crew following them with cameras? Because they only show their two lights walking. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the three lights back behind were the sound guys and the cameramen.
But it was shorter than the two of them. I mean, you don't have like a mobile tracking unit or anything fancy like that.
Yeah, but we also don't know how far away they were. I don't know. I would have to know more about what I saw there. But I see what you're saying about the whole splitting of the. I don't know.
I would think they would have pointed that out because they did point out a sound guy in the woods when they caught him on the thermal camera.
Right, but they may not. You know, I would never say that Taps is faking anything because I don't believe that they would do that. But you know, I think we all make mistakes. I would have to see the footage again. I mean, I just watched the episode, so I don't know.
In that type of shot, though, and I'm just assuming here, but in that type of shot, I got to think that the cameraman and the sound man are in front of those two guys.
No, they were behind them in a couple of the scenes, remember? Because those guys are walking
But
off.
In that particular scene, because I would have debunked it. At that point, they would have said, oh, yeah, that's good, because they did it previously in the episode. They said, that's the sound guy.
Right.
So, and they caught themselves. So,
could be.
I don't think they would have shown it a second time, you know. Or shown crew in the shot.
And again, I don't want hate mail from Taps fans. I'm not saying that they faked anything. I'm just saying it could have been a mistake. I don't know what it is. I would really like to see the video again and kind of look at it. Plus, know what time it was that they were seeing that. And, you know, there's stuff you just don't get, you're not privy to, unfortunately, with watching a TV show. So,
you know, Georgia Spirit Chaser does point out on the boards that they weren't even being filmed at the time they were in the woods when they got that thermal image.
Okay.
So,
all right. Let me think here. Fairies, yeah. So that's my end case on fairies. I don't really know what I believe in with that stuff. Although that weird face that popped up in the last episode of Ghost Hunters was kind of creepy too.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah.
So I don't know what we saw. Go ahead.
Shelley wonders, vampires, friend or foe?
Depends on if you've had a garlic pizza or not, I guess. Vampires in the traditional sense, no. I don't believe there's any creature that sucks people's blood and turns into different beasts. I believe there's some sick people that think that they can do that. And now I'm sure I'm going to get a legion of emails from vampire people hating. And, you know, I believe that right now it's become a cult unto itself, and I think it's a fun thing. And, hey, I'm not beating you up on it. You know, the allure and the sexual coolness of being a vampire. I wanted to be one when I was a kid. I remember taking my mom's emery board, and I used to file my eye tooth so I could get it sharp. I wanted to be a vampire.
Did it work?
Only on one tooth. I did. I filed the other one too flat. But I wanted to be a vampire. So I know the allure. I wanted to be that power. You could feel that power in the night. You know, it's because we're under the mask of anonymity. It's a lot easier in the dark to be something you're not than it is in the light. So I think that that's just a lot of people that are lost and find a power in something they're not. Do I believe that they're slaking their thirst off the virginal blood of the peasants? No.
That's got me a little excited, baby. So
vampires, I don't believe exist. Now, energy vampires, yes. I do believe in them. I've been around them where you walk away and you just feel absolutely sick to your stomach and drained. So Ashley's nodding. She knows a couple of them, apparently. Yes. Okay. All right. Hit me up with the next one.
Shaquisha asks.
Shaquisha?
Shaquisha, yes.
I knew she was listening. What up, Shaquisha? What up, baby? You know I see you.
West Side in the house. All right, go ahead,
Shaquisha. She asks, if you could talk to anyone who is deceased, who would you talk to?
Tim?
Anyone who's deceased? Good question. I want to talk to a skeptic. I don't know. James Randi, the minute he kicks off, I want to talk to him on the other side.
Do you?
Yeah, or Houdini.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting.
I would like to talk to Harry Houdini. Mm-hmm.
See, I'm more an old time sentiment. I just want to talk to my grandpa again.
I hear you. It'd be nice to talk to relatives, but if you had, just
to pick
one
a celebrity, Sinatra. Dude, he did it his way. Seriously, Sinatra would be awesome, wouldn't it? If you could connect with one spirit, Sinatra or Elvis, why go anywhere else?
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix would be interesting. God,
I couldn't take all that squealing guitar stuff. So, I don't know. Yeah, that would be my grandfather would be my first choice, just because I miss him, and he meant more to me than anybody else in my life ever had. So I would say my grandfather. No offense, Mom, you mean a lot to me too, but you know. No. So that's about it. We have about 7.5 minutes.
No, oh,
two and a half minutes. Wow, it went fast this hour. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. We got any? Want to run through another question here real quick, and then we'll.
Kyle asks, "Who would you call if you had a haunted house?"
Who would I call if I had a haunted house?
The JCs, because they always run a good haunted house around Halloween and make a heck of a lot of money.
Well, I would call the Twin Cities Paranormal Society. Woo-hoo! Because they're right here in Minneapolis, and I trust them and like that team, so I would call them, but I'm biased. But if you are in the Twin Cities area and looking for help with your haunted house, just look up the TwinCitiesParanormalSociety.com for all of your paranormal needs. Otherwise, I think I would call my friends, Jay, Grant, Patrick, Chris, and have them come out and take a look at this and see what's going on for themselves. Tim, same thing?
My childhood priest.
Yes, exactly. All right, last question.
This is from Kayla, and she is wondering, does Bigfoot have big feet?
Yes. No, it's a misnomer. They actually have very dainty feet. It's kind of like calling a guy with without a right arm righty or whatever, isn't it?
I think he likes to just brag about his big feet. I don't think he actually has big feet. He may think it's like a size 22, but it's actually like a 15.
The real question is, does Bigfoot have big hands, too?
Hey, now.
That's what I'd like to know. Does it all coincide? Well, that hopefully gives you a sick little twisted look into our world with the paranormal. We've had a great time for the last year and a half. At least I know I have. Tim, are you with me on that?
Sure.
Been having a great time and meeting all you guys, and hopefully you guys have had a good time with us doing the show and coming out to see us live at the live events. We're going to be out again. We do have an event here, which is totally sold out at Eastern State Penitentiary. Do have some cool news about that, though. If you are going to be attending the Eastern State Penitentiary trip, make sure to bring your camera, because aside from our other guests, we have a very, very special celebrity guest who's going to be joining us out there. Mr. Alex Vincent, the little boy that was tortured by Chucky in Child's Play 1 and 2, will be with us at Eastern State Penitentiary signing autographs.
I shouldn't bring my Chucky doll?
Yeah, bring it.
Oh,
bring it for photo ops and have that opportunity. But we also have tickets to Waverly Hills Sanitarium still available. People want to go. That's an amazing trip. And we're doing two full nights of investigations there with the group, not just one. You get two full nights of investigations with Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns, John Zaffis, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Adam Bly, myself, and Tim. We're going to actually be able to participate in the ghost hunt with you, so please come on out to that. And we're going to be back to the Queen Mary, Haunted Queen Mary, in December. You can get all the information on those at darknessevents.com. Again, www.darknessevents.com. I want to thank my co-host and producer Tim, with whom the show would not exist. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for helping us, Tim, and keeping the show on the air. I also want to thank our lovely assistant, Miss Ashley, for being here this evening and helping with the questions. It's been a pleasure having you with us, Ash.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, very good. She's good. Woman of very few words. And the ones she says make no sense at all. No. So thank you, and thank you all for tuning in, because again, if it weren't for you, the show wouldn't be on the air and the events wouldn't be taking place. We hopefully will be seeing you a lot more in the next year. And if you have any advice for the show, guest ideas, please keep them coming to us at dave@darknessradio.com. We'll see you soon. Thanks again. Make sure to tune in next week for a brand new show.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.